Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to SysFi Radio. We are very happy to be here tonight, and we're so happy that we have an awesome show lined up for you that is going to be both inspiring, healing, and a great conversation with a beautiful guest that's going to be talking about herself, her life, her lived experiences, and really getting us to know who she is. You're going to be hearing a lot more about her from us at SysFi and working with her. And so we wanted to take the opportunity to have her on the show with us for you to hear from her, really who she is, and be able to learn more about her. Today is September 24th, and we just want to make sure that as we start off into the fall, here in the north, we can see the beautiful weather is coming and is here, and we just want to enjoy and appreciate life. So this evening, we have Miss Jessica Janier with us. Good evening, Sister Jessica. How are you?
Good evening. I'm doing really great. Thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor and a privilege, and just really delighted and grateful for the opportunity.
Yes, yes, and thank you for taking the time to be with us so that people can learn more about you and know who you are and what you do. So let's start off by you introducing yourself so everybody can know a little bit more about you, and then we can go down into specifics. But just say hi to everyone, introduce yourself, give a little history and a little background about you, and then we can start, you know, talking about some specific things.
Okay, sounds great. Well, good evening to everyone who has joined us this evening. Just really honored. And my name is Jessica Janier, as Brett mentioned, and I do live in Brooklyn, New York. I live here with my husband of 13 years, my three children. I have a 15-year-old, a 13-year-old, and a 10-year-old. And just enjoying the journey of motherhood, been working from home now for about 11 years, and just enjoyed having the opportunity to build my life around my children. Wasn't always easy, but in the midst of that, was able to really discover my purpose and spend some time figuring out why on earth am I here, and why in the world did some of the things that happened to me in the past happen to me. And those were some years that were just that I committed to growing and learning, and it was a process. It wasn't something that was easy, but I'm very grateful for it. I'm also an entrepreneur. I have authored a book in the last year. I'm coming up on the 1 year anniversary of that, and that was pretty life changing and very impactful in ways that I really wasn't expecting, and I'm just really grateful for that. So I love to serve people. I always try to find a way to be a blessing to the people that cross my path. I'm always involved in something that I believe is valuable, that adds value to people. And I just love people. I love my family. I love people. And I love being a blessing. And in that, I've always noticed that I'm really blessed, and I'm grateful for that.
All right. Thank you so much, sis. Thank you so much. You know, hearing you say that and you talk about being blessed and recognizing that you are blessed, you also talked about some challenges that you've gone through and wondering why you're still here and all of that. You know, normally you hear people talk so much about the challenges that they go through. They get stuck in the challenges that they're going through and can't move past that or overcome. Can you talk a little bit about some of those challenges and how you were able to overcome, what they were, how you were able to overcome, for you to now be saying that, you know, you're grateful for those challenges and to where you are now? Can you share a little on that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I in order to do that, I really need to take a step back into the past, because I do believe that the past really holds a lot of weight in terms of where we are presently. Many people try to push the past aside, or they say, oh, I'm going to try to forget about it, and don't deal with the issues of their past. And I know that I was the type of person that was trying to do that, not realizing that my past was the very thing that I needed to deal with in order to heal, to become who I needed to become today. And I was actually a product of a one-night stand, and my mother was actually seeking an abortion when she was pregnant with me. She was homeless, and I lived in Germany the first 6 years of my life after I was born. I lived with my grandmother on a very peaceful and loving farm. I really just have nothing but great memories of that. And one day my mother just came and picked me up with a new husband that she had. And by that time I had a half-sister. And my stepfather was an African-American man. My mother was a white German. And so I was automatically brought into a mixed family. And we ended up moving to the United States. And I ended up in a predominantly African-American community and going into schools. Now, you have to picture this. I'm a little German girl living on a secluded farm in Germany, and now I'm here in New York in the big city, and I'm around people that don't look like me. I don't speak the language. I'm pretty much the only white kid in the community, in the school. And my sister was darker than me. She actually was pretty dark, and you know, we just looked at each other and we were like, okay, you know, are we related? What's going on? But the truth of the matter is it caused a lot of internal chaos for me as a kid. And those things carried through the years, into my teen years, into my young adult years. I brought that into my marriage. All of the things that happened just from life shifting overnight, from me going from one environment to the next. And to make matters worse, it's one thing if you leave an environment and then you go into another one, but it's another thing if you leave one environment that's loving, that's peaceful, that has some sense of security, and now you're moved into another environment, and now you're dealing with issues of domestic violence, you're dealing with physical abuse, you're dealing with psychological and emotional abuse, you're dealing with extreme poverty, you're dealing with so many different things. I had to deal with being bullied, and this pretty much went on from the time that I came to this country all through my teen years. So it was no wonder that between having issues inside of my home and outside of my home, by the time I was 15 years old, I was suicidal. Suicidal, trying to kill myself three times within 3 years. And that's not a normal thing. It's not a normal thing when you are walking around with a dark cloud over you and you are constantly trying to figure out why is there pain constantly coming into your life. You see what's happening. It's unfair. No one can seem to give you an explanation of why these things are coming your way. And what happens is you get a sense of hopelessness. You get a sense you start to feel depressed and oppressed. You feel there's just no way out. And I ended up having all of these things kind of working together at one time, and they were working against me. And so I developed a very negative mindset. I developed a very just dark mentality. Everything, you know, the glass was always half empty, and everything was gloomy. And I had a sense that there had to be better, but I wasn't sure how to get to the better. And I wasn't sure if I was even deserving of it after all that had been done to me. And so, yeah, there was a time when I questioned my purpose. I questioned, why am I here? I even believed that it didn't matter if I was here and people would be better off if I wasn't here. And when I think back to that Jessica, when I look back, I just feel so sad because I think about what I would have missed if I had not made it through that. When I look at my life today and the purpose that I have found years later, and I'm grateful for that. And so it does give me a sense of gratitude. It does fill in me that life is valuable, that life is important, and that even when unfair things happen to us, that if we trust God, that, and if we have faith and if we press through and we hold on, it's not always going to be this way. It's not. And I would have never known that back then. And there's a part of me that didn't believe that. And I tell you, it's nothing but the grace of God that I am here to even talk about it. But I know that sometimes there are people who even may be listening, and they're questioning, they're saying, you know what, I kind of relate to that. I don't really feel like my life is valuable. It's just been one thing after the other, and I'm just tired. I'm tired. And life does that to us. Sometimes we are just tired. You know, we're in distress, and we're tired. We're tired of fighting. We're tired of trying to make it through the next day. And I understand that. I understand that just needing a break from it. But ending our life is not the way to get that break. There are other ways to get that break. And, you know, for some time, for me, I found that break in drugs and drinking and, you know, all that negative stuff. And that was just temporary relief, because what happens is when the pleasure wears off, what happens? Your problems are still there. Your emotions are still there that haven't been dealt with. The issues are still there. You're still in the same environment. And a lot of times it just brings you into a deeper level of despair. And I ended up having to find more positive ways to deal with these things, with these negative things. And again, it wasn't something that happened overnight. It was a process. It was a process. And even when I went to college and I got married and I thought I was kind of making it, you know, I was kind of sensing like, okay, I think I got a handle. I think I'm going to, you know, just kind of live a normal life after going through all of this stuff. I kept hitting a wall, and I still was suffering from depression. I would have social anxiety. And so many different issues followed me, even though I felt like I was really trying my best and really couldn't understand why these things were happening. So it was a process going from that place to where I am today. It took time. It took tears. It took prayers. It took support. It took digging deep. It took forgiving people. You know, it was a process, and it still is a process. I haven't arrived. But I know one thing, that today I am grateful and I am very conscious of the good things in my life. And even with all of the challenges that I have on my plate, even right now, in my current circumstances, I know that it's going to be used for a greater purpose. And even with all of the things that I'm facing, I can still find purpose in my day. I can still serve people. I can still add value to people. And as I'm a blessing to other people, I'm blessed myself. So I know that was a mouthful.
No, and it's okay, and it's okay. It's needed, because I wanted people to really hear you, and I wanted them to hear your passion. I wanted them to hear you talk about, you know, the experiences and what it feels like and what it is, because a lot of what you said is so relevant, because a lot of times people run into hard times and they give up and they will let go and they just throw in the towel because they tell themselves that this is too much and this is too hard. But sometimes when they hear someone else talk about being in that place or going through the journey or the struggles of the journey, or the fact that normal people just run into everyday hardships and challenges, it's not that, you know, bad people are the ones who are always getting bad. There are good people who are always running into bad challenges too, but it's how you deal with it. It's what you do when you run into those situations when you feel like giving up. So, I wanted people to hear you. I wanted them to feel your energy, and I wanted them to feel the experiences of what you've gone through, because that's what makes your testimony so powerful, is that you have lived through it and gone through it. Mm-hmm. One of the things that you said that I wanted to get back to is, you know, the experiences of when the darkness comes and you're going through the depressed state, and, you know, there's all these different things that come at you, and the demon now come at you, and the substance abuse and all the other things. Can you talk about that a little bit more for those people who are listening, who may be in that dark place right now? They are struggling with some real issues. They're really going through the motions and feeling the distress and despair. What would you say would be a coping mechanism that they could use to get through those rough, dark moments? What would you say to someone listening right now who is going through something that you've gone through and just feeling like, this is it, I give up?
Mm-hmm. Sure. You know, life is just hard sometimes. It really is, and it's unfair, and disappointments can run deep. You know, we have to deal with loss. Sometimes we lose a loved one, and there's a piece of us that leaves us that we kind of know deep down this person is never going to be replaceable. And all of these things I have dealt with in my life, all of these deep disappointments, and what happens is when we allow ourselves to get into a dark place, because it's not something that usually happens quickly, it's usually a process, and it's something that happens very gradually. It can be a situation that happens, and we feel the sadness, we feel the depression, we feel the defeat, and what happens is we kind of linger in that, and it feels comfortable. Sometimes we even do it to get attention from other people. We use it to manipulate people. There's a sense of safety there. And while we're there, we do need things to cope while we're there. For some of us, it's pornography, it's sex. For some, it's being with the wrong person. You know this person is not a healthy person to be in a relationship with, but you say, you know what, they're here, they're convenient, and I'm going to settle for less, and I know that this isn't right, but it's going to do for now. This is how I can deal with my pain and just to find some temporary pleasure there. For some, it's food, you know, emotional eating. When you're sad, you just binge and you just eat. I have had certain seasons in my life where I was emotionally eating and finding comfort in that. And what happens is the short term pleasure is just that. It's just short term. Some want to, you know, they want to light a smoke some marijuana or use that in for a period of time, and before you know it, they're going to harder drugs or drinking. I mean, listen, all of the above, Jessica has been there and done that. And it's a dark place. And what happens is when you stay, the longer you stay there, the harder it is to come out. And there are some people who have been in their dark place so long that they just don't know how to get out. And it just seems easier to just end it from there than to go through the process and the work to come out of that dark place. And that is nothing but a lie. That's a lie from the demons that are in our ears that are trying to keep us in that dark place. I remember a few years ago I was in Jamaica Performing Arts Center, and this was around the time where I was really getting my spiritual life together. Most of my life, I really did not have a spiritual foundation. There was no talk of God in my home. We really never went to church. We might have gone a few times, maybe Christmas and Easter, you know. We would go to a Catholic mass. And I always was very intrigued with spiritual things. And a lot of them were on the dark side. And so a few years ago, I had already been married for some time. My husband and I, we sat down and we talked, and I was still suffering from depression. I would go through deep bouts of depression. I mean, seasonal depression is very real. Like around October, it would start, and for November, December, January, February, I literally slept my life away. I would take my kids to school if they were in school, and the ones that were home, I would put them down to sleep, and we would nap for hours. And then when my husband came home, I'd nap again, and I just slept. So I'm saying all that to say that when I had this conversation with my husband that, you know what, we really need to get our spiritual life together. I'm sensing that I need to get my spiritual life together. I went to see this play and it was on the story of Job. It was a modern adaptation on the life of Job. Now, I had not been familiar with Job or the story, and what it was, it depicted this man who was battling between the angels on one side and the demons on the other side. And as they went through the scenes, you could see visually these demons talking into his ear, telling him, you know, curse your wife out or slap her. Or, yeah, I'm being dramatic and I'm kind of recreating some of the scenes. But it was a real, real visual depiction of the spiritual battle that we deal with when we are in a dark place. And it just really brought it to life for me, what I had been going through almost my entire life, dealing with these voices, dealing with these impressions in my spirit that were telling me, you're not worthy of life, you're not important, look at you, you screwed up so much, you're never going to make anything of yourself. Oh, your stepfather was so right when he told you that you don't matter, you're no good, you're never going to be anybody. And these things would keep replaying in my head and in my ear, and they would sit in my spirit. And so when you're in that dark place, it is a very strong breeding ground for these things, these demons to come out and to speak to us. And so what I would say is that we have to make a conscious effort and a conscious decision to get out of that place. First of all, we need to recognize that our life does matter. Listen, there are things that I'm doing today that I would have never, ever in a million years thought that I would be doing. And I'm not saying that to brag and to boast. I'm saying that because God saw the bigger picture of the value of my life when I didn't. And sometimes we need another voice, someone else from the outside, to tell us that, you know what, no matter how far gone you think you are, you're not gone and you're not too far beyond God's reach. You're not too far gone to come out and to pick yourself up. Is it going to be easy? No. It's never going to be easy because life is not easy. But there are practical things that we can do. There are steps that we can take. There are decisions that we can make that can help us to begin to move in the right direction. And so it was a process. But getting out of that dark place is no easy feat. And I'll be honest with you, when I first started really, really fighting against my depression, it seemed like I kept going back. It went to, I one day just had that breakthrough. But it was a fight. But I don't believe that it's something that should ever defeat us. It should never defeat us. A lot of it is so emotional. It's our emotions. And you know what I learned that was really, really interesting and it has really helped me? We have to learn to live beyond our feelings. I learned that feelings lie. My feelings have lied to me a lot. My feelings have told me that I'm not worthy. My feelings have told me that it doesn't matter if I'm here or not. My feelings told me that I'm ugly and my husband will never stay with me. He will never love me the way that I deserve. Before I even met him, my feelings told me, oh, no one's ever going to love you. You've done too many bad things. You've been in too many dark places. Look what has happened to you. And our feelings can really lie to us. Are they valid? Absolutely, they're valid. We can feel our feelings, and we can recognize them and put them in the perspective where they need to be. But to really have the victory, we have to rise above how we feel. And that is a process. It's not something that happens overnight. It is a discipline, and it is a process. It's something that takes time. But to really answer your question, I would say that the coping mechanism to coming out of a dark place, you have to replace the negative with a positive. And what that is I don't know. It's different for everyone. What is it that excites you? For some, it could be starting a hobby of painting. Some haven't painted in years, but when they paint, they feel free. They feel refreshed. They feel excited and happy about life. They feel purpose-filled. For some, it could be something as easy as working out or getting out of the house, or, you know, getting involved in an organization and volunteering. For some, it's going back to church because you haven't been to church in years and you know that God is saying go back to church. It's different for everyone. But the main thing is replacing the negative habits that are keeping us in that dark place and finding something positive. And also support. I would not be where I am today if it wasn't for support. If I tell you, I have mentors, I have people that have spoken into my life, people that have believed in me when I didn't even believe in myself, people that said to me, Jessica, you're going to be a speaker one day. And I looked at them like they were crazy. I said, speaker? I can't even talk in front of five people. I break out in hives, my knees shake, my stomach aches, I get sick because of my social anxiety. And, you know, I can say I've spoken in front of over 3,000 people. That's not anything that I planned, and it's nothing but the grace of God. But it started with getting out of that dark place, making a decision. I'm not going to settle for this. I'm not going to allow the enemy within me defeat me. I'm not going to allow it.
Well, you know, that was so deep. That was so deep. And thank you for sharing. It was such a blessing just listening to you share the experience. And I know people are listening, and there are people, you know, we're always going to have those people who say, well, you know what, you can feel that way, but my situation is this, or my situation is that. And, it's not as easy. You always get that type of feedback from people who will say that their situations are so bad that, you know, no matter what they do or what they try to do, you know, they can't get out of it. And I'm glad that you talked about different variables of what you went through, because one of the things that I was going to also mention too was the importance of support. You know, having support where you have people when those days come and the time come when you're so distressed and you're so burdened down by what you're going through, you need that support for people to pour positive energy and positive enlightenment into your life, for you to see that even though you may be feeling the way you're feeling right now, mm-hmm. even though you may be having those feelings that you talked about, that there is good that can come out of that. People who believe in you and want to see good for you and will continue supporting you. But there are some people who don't have that, you know, and some people are struggling with this loneliness that comes from facing your demons and facing your challenges. And one of the things that I wanted to just take from what you said in a powerful way is the fact that we sometimes have to stop listening to those voices. You know, stop giving in to those feelings. Sometimes when you're feeling like you don't want to get up, you don't want to go out, you don't want to do anything, sometimes you have to go against those feelings. You have to get up, you have to get out, you got to get on your knees, you got to pray, whatever it is that you got to do to really get your life to where you need to be, because the devil, you know, has a very good way of telling you things that it's easy for you to believe when you yourself don't believe in yourself. You know, and it's very scary that you have a lot of people today who they're hurting on so many levels. And it's not that their faith is weak and they don't believe in God, but the human side of what they're going through is so real and it's so challenging. You find many of them will take substances and medication as a way of dealing with the human pain they're going through. But sometimes, you know, your person just has to do what they can do to just deal with the distress they're going through. So thank you for sharing that. So can you talk about the book? Is all of this that you talked about in the book? Can you just talk about the book? Let everyone know the book, My Colored World. Such a great
sure.
topic.
Yeah.
What is the title for the book?
Yeah, the book is My Colored World. It's a memoir. And what I did was I recaptured different stories, different moments of my life, pretty much from the time in Germany, the memories that I had. On the farm in Germany, the transition when I came to America, what my initial experiences were when I came here. And then there are these small, short stories that take you on a journey throughout my life up until the present time. And I talk about a lot of different things in the book. I'm very transparent. Things I talk about struggling with suicide. I talk about bullying. I talk about social issues that I see, different things that I've witnessed in urban, inner city, low-income communities, which is where I spent most of my childhood and teen years. I talk about my desire to want to improve my life and my search for purpose, and how that transpired, where I went, and how God sent different people into my life, and what my reaction was. And you pretty much get a very clear picture of me being in that moment, how I thought, how I responded to different things that happened. And you get to really see the growth over a period of time, and to the point where I am now at a place where I am a person of faith. I didn't have faith before, you know. I am a person that has some stability. I am a person who chooses to focus on the positive, even if I have 100 negative things surrounding me. But this, again, was a process. And I want to say something based on what you said a few minutes ago about people could be listening in and they can say, like, yeah, that's great. You know, that's her. She's able to overcome. But she doesn't know my situation, and my situation's pretty bad. And I remember feeling like that. I felt like nobody in the world could understand or relate to Jessica. Nobody knew what it was like to be an outsider, to be outcast from your family, to go everywhere you went, you stood out and you never fit in. And wherever you went, there was always a level of drama and issues, and it just seemed like bad luck just always followed me, you know? And I felt like nobody could ever understand that. I really understand that, and I tell you, it's a very lonely place to be when you feel like your problems are so big and so unique and so detrimental that nobody can relate to them. And that's another lie, because when I really started opening up and talking and sharing my story, I learned that there are a whole lot of people that went through what I went through, and for a long time I thought it was just me. I thought I was the only one having to go and pick up bottles and cans off the street as a kid with my mom just so we can get some food on the table. That was embarrassing. I didn't want to talk about that, but I wasn't the only one, and I'm not the only one. There are people that are doing that today. That stuff doesn't validate us and define us. I let that stuff define me and validate me for a long time. I thought, this is who I am. That means I'm not much. That means I'm not much. I cannot do a lot with my life, because look at where I've come from. Look at what has been done to me. Surviving a rape at 15, being sexually assaulted while I'm in the fifth grade. That only happens to people who are not deserving of good things, right? And I let that define me and validate me. And I really believe for a long time. And I tell you, I remember when I first started my personal development journey. I was in college, and, you know, I looked pretty together. A lot of people today look pretty together. We can fake the funk really well. We get the job, you know, many of us, we go through college, we get educated, or we make a decent living. You know, we have families, and we kind of look pretty together on the outside. And we can play that role really well. But at night, when the lights go out and when we're in our rooms by ourselves and it's dark and we're alone, we realize we've got some issues. And these issues are really trying to take over our life. They're holding us back from pursuing things that we have sitting in our spirit. We are afraid. We don't feel worthy. It's affecting our relationships. We don't trust people. Our kids are suffering from it. You understand? This was me. As a young adult, I'm in college thinking, okay, I'm going to go and make something of myself. I'm going to prove all of my haters that I'm going to go and be somebody. And that was my motive back then. I'm going to keep it real. And I was a single mom at that time. And I said, I'm going to go and be somebody. Not too late, not too not too long after that, I met my husband. Really wasn't even trying to get in a relationship with him. That was nothing but the will of God, that I met my husband. We ended up getting married, and I ended up starting a business and didn't know that the gentleman who was mentoring me was going to become my life mentor. Well, I started going into these environments where they were introducing me to personal development, and I started hearing people share their stories of overcoming adversity. And you know what my first thought was? Ugh, they don't understand where I came from. That's them. This is me. And I was so negative. I really was negative. There were a few people that I was happy for. I kind of liked, you know, the way they flowed. But for the most part, I was really upset at them because I felt that was them and this is me. Oh, good for them. And I said that sarcastically. I was jealous of them. And I had to really check my heart and my spirit in order for me to really receive the blessings that God had for me. Because the truth of the matter is, when I looked at it and when I really opened my mind and my heart, everybody has problems. Some have more problems than others, no doubt about it. Some go through atrocities that nobody should ever go through. You understand? There are people that I know that have had to bury their kid. My mother had to bury my sister at 15 years old due to gang violence. She's going to carry that scar and have that hole in her heart forever. I can't relate to that. I've never buried a kid. By the grace of God, I pray I never have to. But any mother that's ever had to bury their kid, don't tell them that this is something that you can get over or how to deal with that. Everybody has different circumstances and different situations. My point is that we all feel pain, and we all feel it on different levels. And we have to go through our own process. And we have to get to that place where we can forgive, where we can forgive ourselves, where we can forgive those that have hurt us. These things don't happen overnight. These things take time. These things take doing some heart work. When I say heart work, meaning really take an inventory of what's sitting in our heart. We can't prosper if we're jealous of people. I can't prosper and become an entrepreneur and say that I want to bless people when I'm holding jealousy in my heart. It won't work. I have to check my spirit. I got to check my heart. And so I had to go through that, and I really had to change my negative outlook and my perspective towards people in order for me to be who God wanted me to be, in order for me to get to where I am today. And so you were talking about what were you talking about? I lost my train of thought.
No, I mean, you're there. You covered pretty much some of what I had asked and what we were talking about.
Okay. Just want to make sure I didn't miss anything.
No, you didn't. And I'm glad that you're elaborating the way that you are, because, again, one of the things that I find that is a very serious part of and is missing in our community is hearing people who have gone through certain lived experiences talk about their lived experiences. I think we're doing a disservice to those who are struggling when we don't let them hear from people who are going through or have overcome what they've gone through. And we have to be very careful of that, because it can be a double-edged sword, okay? I do provide services to a lot of people who are struggling and going through a lot of what you've talked about. And one of the things that I do know is that sometimes the system is the one that re-traumatizes and re-victimizes people.
Mm-hmm.
So while you have the positive outlook and the positive mentality about overcoming what you're going through, you know, we're living in a society where we have a system that really does not cater to addressing effectively what the challenges are for people who are going through distress. And I do think that one of the problems with that is because we do not look at emotional distress as a critical, urgent need. We look at it like, okay, you know, this person is alive, this person may look well, this person may dress well, carry themselves well, and they're saying they need help, so we can get back to them in 2 or 3 days. So we find that a lot of the challenges that you've talked about, the sexual abuse, the domestic violence, you know, the hopelessness, the distress, the depression, the suicide, a lot of that is not given the type of humane attention and priority to alleviate the long-term distresses that comes from that. You know, one of the things you talked about is, you know, your mother burying a sister, your 15-year-old sister. I mean, that's something each person has to look at in themselves and say to themselves, you know what, this is a traumatizing experience. I've been hurt. I'm feeling the hurt. I'm going to get the help. Because we find that a lot of people who have, they just think grief and loss is such a normal part of life that they will lose a loved one and they don't go for help because they tell themselves, you know, I'm okay. And so we really have to re-educate our society. We have to re-educate people about how to take care of themselves, especially when it gets into that crisis, distress, and depressed state, especially when things are not going the way they wanted, especially when they don't have the basic necessities they need to live. We have to re-educate people and our society and our communities and our children really about how to take care of self, not just when times are good. You know, as a society, we have this thing where we paint this perfect picture, the perfect world, the American dream. And people chase the perfect picture and the perfect life and the American dream so much that it's killing them and they're suffering in the process. But because they're chasing it and they want it and they want it and they're aiming for it and it's all that they need, they overlook or don't even realize how much they're hurting themselves.
So true.
So when you look at someone like you who has lived through adversity, someone who has overcome the darkness, someone who has faced their demons, and you sharing your story and letting others know that there is hope, there is recovery, but most importantly, there needs to be healing. Because hope and recovery is very important, but the healing part is a very essential part of hope and recovery moving forward. And so we want to impress upon people, as you're hearing the story that Sister Jessica is sharing and how she's opening up her heart, also listen out and also recognize that there has to be healing. The healing is what will allow us to not take that hurt and that pain and the anger and aggression and all the vengeance with us as we go through life. So many people are struggling and suffering and they can't move forward. Some can't even pray.
Mm-hmm.
Some can't even come up with a positive thought in their head simply because they're holding on to so much negativity. So I'm, you know, it's such an encouragement to hear you share and share your story. And we want to take this as a teachable moment for those who are listening. We know that life can get hard.
Mm-hmm.
We know that those lonely times come between 11 o'clock at night to 5 o'clock in the morning. You're by yourself and you're really feeling lonely and in despair and in distress and feel like no one cares. But the truth is, if you don't reach out for help, and if you don't open your heart and your mind for help, then nothing that's available or no one who tries to help will be able to effectively help. Because it comes back on us as an individual. No matter how good I am as a counselor or therapist or whatever it is in my role or the role of anyone who is providing that service to help overcome your distress, no matter how good they are, they will not be able to help you unless you open your heart and your mind for help. So, Sister Jessica, it's such an honor and a privilege to have you with us on the show tonight and to hear about the book, your life experiences. And can you just share what are some of the things you're working on right now? What are some of the projects or events or, you know, what do you have in the works right now that people can look forward to, or how can they engage with you in what you're doing?
Sure. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. I wanted to say, to piggyback off of what you said, you know, connection brings life. And so sometimes when we're very wounded and we are in a dark place, the thing that we lose is trust. We don't trust people. We isolate ourselves. We feel even more so ashamed of the things that we're going through, and that takes us deeper into the dark place. And when I was going on beginning my personal development journey, one of the most freeing things that I found out was that I'm responsible for my life. You know, no matter what has happened to me, no matter how many bad things and unfair things have happened to me, yes, I might have been victimized in many situations, but I'm not a victim. Those things don't define me, and neither do they do for you if you're in that situation. And one of the greatest ways that we can empower ourselves is to recognize that nobody owes me anything. Nobody owes Jessica anything. Yeah, it's kind of messed up that I went through a lot of these things. It sucks, to tell you the truth, and it hurts. But when I really learned that and embraced that, it freed me to be able to connect with people. And connection brings life. We were designed and created to connect. This is why I am very passionate about connecting with people. I love people. I love building relationships. I love pointing people to other people and to resources that add value to their lives. Professionally, I was an event planner, and I have tied that into my ministry work and the different things that I've done. Right now, I'm laying out the formats and the drafts for my next book, and that's an exciting process because I believe that it's really going to impact more people, and these will be practical things that I have learned and that I apply in my own life that have given me the platform to build a successful marriage, to stay out of depression, to find joy in the midst of adversity, to infuse fun into my everyday monotonous routine, to enjoy my journey of motherhood, to find ways to serve people and add value to people, because that's what life is about. If we're not doing something that's utilizing our gifts and the things that we have in us, we can't really find purpose, you know? We can't really find purpose, and it leaves a hole in us. And so what happens is we need to be connected to things that will bring that out of us. And so these are some of the things that I'm working on. I'm planning to have a Look Up and Beyond conference in 2017, and I'll be posting more info about that on Facebook and on social media. Right now I'm very, very active on social media, primarily my Facebook page. I do have a website, lookupandbeyond.com, and that is being updated and being revamped, but there are still some great resources on there, some great blogs. I'm also on Instagram, Jessica Janier, and, you know, I have my hand in a few different things, but again, most of the stuff that I do is behind the scenes. I don't feel that it's important to showcase everything. A lot of my ministry and what I do is in the everyday routine of my life. It's who I come across. It's who has a need that needs to be met, and how can I help to fill that? Who needs encouragement, and what can I say to lift their spirits? What can I do each day to shine a little light in this dark world? And that is what really brings me the greatest joy. And that's what I'm striving for.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that and that powerful story and testimony. I can't believe how fast the time is going. Wow. We will definitely have to do a follow-up with you so we can get more into the... I want to give those who are listening an opportunity. If you have any questions that you would like to ask Sister Jessica, if there's any... you know, support that you want to give her, positive, you know, words of encouragement you want to give her, please press 1 on your keypad. That will put you in the queue, and then we'll be able to get you on the air for you to share. But one thing I want to say to what you just shared, and I want to say it because we have to be very careful sometimes, very, very careful, that the people that we choose to bring into our hearts and our minds when we're networking and connecting, we have to be very careful. Because a lot of times, sometimes in our efforts to want to connect and be that passionate person, a person wants to do good and a person wants to do good for the greater good, sometimes we allow ourselves to fall into the traps that are set, and we end up being hurt, or we end up being re-traumatized, or something triggers something in us that can be very hurtful and painful. A lot of times, I say this to people all the time, that sometimes when you're going through your challenges and you're going through those hardships, it's a time for you to reexamine and reassess self. It's a time for you to look within yourself and to see who you are and maybe why you're going through what you're going through. It's a very important time for you to understand that there is a greater purpose for your life. But sometimes, you know, we're so headstrong in the way we're moving forward that we want to do all these things and not pay attention to self. And that's how a lot of times we end up hurting ourselves even more, you know, because instead of stopping and taking a step back to say, look, I need to know who I am and why I'm here. I need to understand why am I facing these challenges and adversities and the things that I may be thinking of that may be hardships. Because every one of those things that we go through are life lessons towards the greatness that we are or we are to become. But many times some of us don't stop and take the opportunity to really do that. So I wanted to just interject that piece in it for us to be very careful. You know, even the Bible talks about guarding your heart. But it's not just your heart. It's also to guard the things that you allow in your mind. Because when the heart and the mind are in conflict or in chaos about, you know, what's there, it's a very dangerous thing. So while we are trying and building and being happy with who we are, just be very careful of who we let into our inner space and our inner sanctum and our inner sacred places of our hearts and our minds. Because we can love people and love them as much as we want and support them and care for them. But sometimes not giving up so much of ourselves where we put ourselves at risk. Some of us are very fragile. Some of us don't have the skills to you know, ward off the demons and the negativity and the, you know, the abusive words and the mistreatment. Some of us don't have the strength to do that. So we have to know who we are. One of the things I say a lot of times to people is sometimes some of us put ourselves so high in the spiritual pool that we forget that we're human beings and we overlook the physical pain that we're going through. And there has to be balance. There has to be balance because while we're pushing and building on our spiritual side, we also have to make sure the human side is clear, it's cleansed, it's pure, and we're in control of what we take in and allow to come into our consciousness. So, you know, adding that into the conversation for people to who are listening to say, well, you know, why is it I'm always going through the things that I'm going through? Why does God give me so much? Why is God? Why is God? Why is God? Why don't you stop and look for yourself and say, God, you must have chosen me for a reason for this. So let me stop asking you why and start looking into myself and see what am I doing that I need to do better or do different for me now to learn from these things or get the lesson that is being shared. So, you know, the conversation is important. It's the lived experiences are important. Everybody goes through the same type of experiences but are affected differently. And so we have people who may be listening and say, well, you know, I went through it, but it's not. Yes, we understand that. We don't want you to think, and Ms. Jessica said it too, that we understand that people go through different things on different levels. We're not downplaying that. But we just want you to know that it's on you also to take some part of that to see how you can heal and what you can do for yourself in healing. So before we wrap up, Sister Jessica, can you just share where can people find out about you? How can they connect with you? And how do they stay connected with you?
Sure. One of the best ways to stay connected with me is Facebook. I really love Facebook. I have been able to develop relationships and offer prayer and encouragement to people through that avenue the most in the last few years. I am on Facebook at Jessica Janier. You can friend request me there, connect with me there. Also on Instagram, if you go to my website, lookupandbeyond.com, you can also shoot me an email, and I will personally get back to you. And one of the things that I love to do, again, is just connect people to resources, things that I know will benefit you for where you are in your life. And Brett, you said something that was really important, and that is know yourself. We all are wired differently. We all deal with pain differently. We all grow at different paces, and we're all on different levels. It doesn't mean that one is better than the other. It means that we're going through our own process. But in that process, it is important to have positive people around us and to really saturate ourselves with things that inspire hope, things that inspire peace. Sometimes we have to take some inventory and see what are the red flags and what are the triggers that are causing some of our sadness, our depression, or, you know, our anger. What are some of the triggers? What are some of the things that they just set us off, and they rehash and they reopen some of our wounds that are still healing? So we really have to take some inventory and look a little bit deeper and not just go by the surface stuff. So it's very important. I also believe in listening to audios. You know, we live in a very high-tech society, and for most of us, we don't take advantage of that. We can go to YouTube and we can listen to inspirational messages that will flush out some of the negativity and fill us with some positivity. Sometimes it feels uncomfortable, especially in the beginning, but this is what we need. These are the things that we need planted in our mind and in our spirit to help us to begin to go in that direction where we see that despite our circumstances, if we hold on, it's going to get better. If we make a few changes here, we can enhance our life just a little bit. We can build that resilience. We can deal with the emotions that we're dealing with in a more positive way. So there's a lot more I can say about that, but in closing, I would definitely say social media, you know, Facebook, connect with me there, Instagram, my website, lookupandbeyond.com, and definitely looking forward to getting connected with anyone that reaches out. And, yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right, sis. So listen, we didn't have anyone who wanted to come on the air. I do know that we have listeners tuned in, and we want to say thank you to them for joining and for listening and for being a part of the conversation. It's very important that we continue providing this type of support and this type of engagement for people, because of just one of the connections that is made and how those connections are made for people who are going through things. So I want to thank you for being with me tonight and just, you know, sharing your story and being with us to let people hear and learn from what you've gone through. So thank you again. I just got the timeout that we're winding down, and I just want to say thank you all for joining. Thank you to Sister Jessica for being on with us. And as we continue building together, we will have her back on the show with us again for her to continue sharing. All right. Thank you for listening. Good night. God bless. And have a great night. Signing out here from Sis Y. Thank you, Sister Jessica.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Great interview. Really enjoyed that. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
Have a good night.